greetings from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could join us today for my dad's message on prayer. We hope you'll invite your family and friends to worship with us. A special part of our day is hearing from you, our viewers. We read every letter and we are grateful for your continued prayers and support. Recently, we received a note from Wisconsin which reads, "Thank you for your program of the real and true life we can have in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The message is still God seeking for all the lost, but also helping those of us who need an anchor for our soul and daily living." And from Michigan, "I am still listening faithfully every week, and I wanted to send you a memorial gift in memory of my dear dad. Dad came to know the Lord as his Savior through Pastor Salem in his later years, and he loved CWH. Today's message, When God Says No, speaks to how God answers our prayers in different ways. May God bless your week."
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And as I say every week, we just all rejoice when this time rolls around and we can gather together all over the world. It just doesn't seem possible, but it is. We hear from all parts of the world, and we're all worshiping the one wonderful Jesus, the Savior, the most beautiful Savior. He is so beautiful. And so we just thank you and welcome you to join as we worship together. And we're going to look at when God says no, when God doesn't answer our prayers in the affirmative, and what do we do about it, and how should we handle it? And so we hear from a good number of people say, "Well, I've been praying and praying and praying, and nothing happens." So we're going to look at that. But first of all, we're looking at Psalm 107 and the opening verses. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He has gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness as a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, dear God, that's what we have in our hearts, in our program, that service today, and every time we have a service, that we might bring glory and praise and give of your wonderful works and your goodness. And dear Lord, just have your way in every heart and life. And to those who don't know you, dear Jesus, they've never opened their heart to you. And just knock at their door, we pray, and help them that this will be the day they will become a child of God. And we'll be always careful to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jan's going to start us off with a beautiful song, "Then I Met the Master." And God bless you, Jan.
Like a babe when it grows.
Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Have put the question, have you met the Master? I mean, not have you heard about him, or are you maybe somebody said something about him. Do you know him personally? Is he in your life? He can dwell in your life. He will dwell in your life. As a matter of fact, he wants to. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart, the door of your life. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him and he with me. I did that 87 years ago. 10 years old, little country boy, didn't know up from down. But that evangelist, Vernon Egebroten, told us about Jesus and he wanted to come into our life. And I just knew I want Jesus. And I asked him to come in. And you say, well, I don't know how to talk to Jesus. I don't know how to pray. I don't know. I don't know thee and thou. And I don't know. You know what you do? When you talk to Jesus and you want him into your heart, you just talk to him just like you would anybody else. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And please come into my heart. Take away my sins. And I'll turn from them the best I can. And I'll serve you and follow you. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you need to do in your own words. And so then you'll know the Master. And you know him as a friend. And you know him as a brother. And you know him as a Savior. And you know him as a leader. And someday you'll see him face to face and be with him forever. Be sure to make that prayer. Oh, dear Lord, I pray you'll make that prayer. Well, look at here. We got some letters to share. And the first one comes from Florence, Italy. We are blessed with your dedication in serving the Lord. I'm a new Christian, 43 years old, while my wife has been a Christian since she was 13 years old. God bless you with more joyous years to come. And maybe, who knows, you might visit Italy. God's blessings upon you and your church. And so isn't this a beautiful story? And I have been to Italy a good number of times. I used to help with the travel of people going to the Holy Land. I've been there, I don't know, 15, 16 times. And it's a beautiful country and beautiful people. They always treated us so well. Always enjoyed Italy. And I can't say enough nice words about it. And here I got a brother and a sister there in Florence. And now we're talking to each other. We're getting word back and forth. And we're going to be together in heaven. And that's the family of God. They're scattered all over the world. And we get to minister to them and preach to them, share the word of God, break the bread of life. Oh, we just thank God for that wonderful opportunity. And God bless you wherever you are. Here's Big Cove Tannery, Pennsylvania. Oh, listen to this one. This is a lady writing here. God bless you with joy and happiness and ability to stand behind your pulpit till he says, come home. P.S. Now you can stop bragging about your age. I got you beat, 99 and going slow. Love in Jesus' name, an old sister. Well, I am jealous of you. And here she is, got me beat. I'm 97, she's got 2 years on me. And that's disgusting. But isn't that wonderful? Here we are, we both know the Lord. And I like it where she says, and going slow. You betcha, brother and sister, we're going slow. I'm going slow. I haven't stopped, but I shifted gears and I slowed down. I'm so slow that the other day I was going to my office and a turtle passed me. But you remember the story of the turtle and the hare? Turtle, he was going zipping around. The rabbit, he's jumping around all over. The turtle beat him. And in the long run, we'll win. And I want to tell you something about old age. And now we're not, the body's just going to pieces. That's all. We're not arguing that. But Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, though our outward man perish, so this body is going to wear out. And it arrives is sooner for some than others. It's just going to bear out. But that's what he says. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It gets stronger. That spiritual person within us, that spiritual part of us. And it isn't while we're one day closer to the grave, we're one day closer to glory. See? So don't feel sorry for us old folks. unless you don't know Jesus. And oh, if you're old and you don't know Jesus, I just ache. I literally ache. Because if you don't have Jesus, you've got a Christless eternity and it's called hell. And there's no way around it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. The way to God is Jesus, a person. And you don't have to have Jesus in your life. You have to ask him into your heart. And if you do, it doesn't matter what your sins are, wash them all away. Got to have Jesus. Well, let's see. Tigard, Oregon. Thank you for bringing me full circle back to Jesus. The past few years with you has been not just a blessing, but a miracle too. And so here's a person, and they've drifted away from the Lord, and they've come back to Jesus. And I know there's going to be people, maybe many of you, and you used to walk with the Lord, and then you got busy, and you got a habit, and you didn't go to church, and you didn't read your Bible, or you got mad at somebody, or somebody hurt your feelings, and boy, some of them got pretty thin feelings. One poor old pastor, he was having trouble with all his members, he'd get up this one and that, and the next one didn't know what it's going to be next. And he says, my members just like a bunch of balloons. I don't know which going to blow up next. Well, God bless you, you better blow down a little bit and get some sense in your head, walk with Jesus and have him in your heart and be able to live with him and get in your church and don't get into your church to see what you can get. Get into the church to see what you can do, how you can help him. That's what you need to do. And don't worry about God accepting you. You remember the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15, verse 20? And this boy took his inheritance ahead of time, didn't wait for dad to die. He says, Dad, if it's okay with you, I just soon have my inheritance now. And so the dad says, oh, okay. You know, if you want it, I'll give it to you. So he gave him a third. He had an older brother, so he gave him half of it. And the boy took off. You know the story. And boy, pretty soon he was looking back, wanting to go back to dad. Would dad take him? He's riotous living, all that. Well, what did dad do? We read here, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. That means his old dad been sitting on the front porch waiting for that boy to come home, waiting for him. See, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. Now, this is in the Middle East. In the Middle East, the old men don't run to the boys. The son runs to the father. But in this case, it's a picture of God, the Father. And the father goes to the son and takes him in his arms. If you make that move and you come to Jesus and you ask Jesus to save you, he'll take you, put his arms around you, and he'll take you back. And you can make something out of your life yet because you can serve Jesus. That's why I love to preach. It's so full. There's anybody that can't be saved except if he dies. And once you die, the judgment. I can't help you a bit. It's all settled. So you got to do it now. This side of the tombstone, if you don't mind. Let's see, New Zealand. Oh, isn't this nice? You know how far New Zealand is away? I asked Kent to look it up. 7,700 miles. Boy, it takes a lot of wind to put a sermon that far. You had to be windy. But I got it, and we got all the way 7,000 miles. And they say, good morning from New Zealand. I'd like to say thank you for your friend request as I'm feeling deeply honored and grateful by it. At first, I had to make sure it was really your service. And lo and behold, it really is. I get to watch a Christian worship hour on the channel Sky TR in New Zealand. And so thank you for that. I think this came on email or something. I don't know. I don't know how to do email. But the girls in the office, they all take care of that. And so we just rejoice. New Zealand, a beautiful, beautiful country. Here's Venus, Florida. Keep on as long as you can, preaching God's word in a simple message that everyone can understand. And then she says, thank you for always praying for the lonely people. The lonely people, you know, there's a lot of lonely people. They're not always old people either. I think there are a lot of children that just have been neglected by their parents, and they feel not loved, and they're lonely little kids. And then the teenagers, some of them are lonely. They're trying to live for Jesus, and this culture is so anti-Christ, and they have to stand up for you and say, maybe we cut out of some of the circles because they're standing for Jesus, and they have maybe a little bit lonely. That loneliness can come to anybody, and it come in the middle of a city. I went to school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I was so homesick, I was so lonely, and I was surrounded by people, I was going crazy, and I was as lonely as I could be. So this wonder, just pray for these people, and remember this, Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're not alone. Let me see, here's Port Graham, Alaska. Thank you, Pastor Salem, for your Sunday show. Me and my girlfriend watch every Sunday. We're Russian Orthodox Christians. We don't have a priest to run our church. Thank you, and closes our offering. Please send us the heart of a shepherd. God bless you. Let me stop on that heart of a shepherd. That is an hour documentary, and it teaches the way of salvation, coming to Jesus. We send it out on a free will offering basis. And you get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give you the place in just a minute. But I wanted to say how happy we are. Here's Russian Orthodox Christians. So you see, when we have the Christian worship hour, we're non-denominational. We don't embark on for any denomination. Now, if you want to be in a denomination, that's fine. I always was in a denominational church. But now we have a mission, and we're to all of the people, all the Christians, and all the unbelievers. And all we do is preach the Bible, what God says. And this, so we welcome these folks to join us. And then they said, enclosed is an offering. So here they are helping out because we're preaching the gospel, getting the gospel out to all the world. Let me see. Here's one I want to read. I've got so many here. Let's look at Miles City, Montana. No, I've got to close with this last one, and I don't want to run out of time. And this is the one I just really like. It's from Cowchilla, California. And it says, this man writes, he says, God bless you. I watched a service of yours, and it was very good. I did find one error, though. The age of the pastor was said to be 94, and this is fake news. The man speaking could not have been 84, not 94, 84. He spoke clear with power and a focused point, so I thought he was 74. He emphasized the need of God now, not later. I inspected his hair, his clothes, manners compared to myself, and I agree, this pastor guy is only 54. I really like this guy's arithmetic, I'm going to tell you. His math is just my kind, but I'm 97, and I'm just thankful to God for that, and I'm thankful for all of these letters. Just thank you for writing, and now I'm going to have, if you just do this, get your pencil and your paper and write down our address. Our address is Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, and the box is easy, box 2002, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, if you want to, you can get us on the internet, on the website. We're at a beauty website, and you need to check that and see how we can get download sermons and everything else on there. And that website is christianworshiphour.com. And you know what you can do? You can send a gift over that website. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. We had a man in Norway, and he made a gift in his currency. It came, I don't know how it came. It came to America here and gave in American currency, and we paid our bills. It's a miracle. And so just do that. And then I want to tell you about a little Bible study we have. Every month we have a new Bible study, and this month is The Harvest is Great. Here we are in September, and so we're getting into the harvest fields and all, and it's a Bible study on the harvest. And it's free and postpaid, and it's a new one every month. And some of these are used for Sunday school lessons. We have people in prison that use them for Bible studies, and you're just like it. And it's free and postpaid. So now get that pencil and paper. I'm going to give it to you again in just a second. But I want to tell you about this, about our film, The Harvest is Great, and in the heart of the shepherd. And the heart of a shepherd will tell you how it points the way of salvation. And even the children can understand it. And it's a true story of a boy 10 years old, accepted Jesus, and God called him to the ministry. And he's been preaching, and he's in his 75th year. I'm in the 75th year of preaching. And Jesus has been with me 87 years. And I failed him 100 times over, more than that, I guess. But he's never failed me. And every time I go back to him and ask him to forgive me, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive us our sins. And how many times will he do that? Oh, maybe 10,000 times. Because though where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so if you fail, ask him to forgive you. Get up and work at it and never give up trying. So write to us now and pray for us and send us a gift because we have to pay our wages like anybody else. Here's the address again. And all of you shortwave people, love to hear from you. It's a Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So I hope to hear from you. I know we will. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God lays on your heart. And if you do that, everything will be just fine. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people who so faithfully help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Appreciate your ministry of music so much. Well, we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning to that, this is a case in life where Paul is praying to God, and he prays three times, and then God says no every time. And then the third time he said, don't ask me to pray that. Don't pray for that anymore. Now, what do we do when God says no? That's what our study's going to be about. And then in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Algeria. Algeria. And we begin 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great example that St. Paul gives us, that though he asked three times and you just had to say no, and you never did answer that prayer of taking that thorn out of his flesh, he didn't become angry, but he just submitted to it and rejoiced in it as an infirmity, and he worshiped you and served you until the day they took his life. And so help us, Lord, not to become upset if you are guiding us in a different path or something isn't, we pray for, that isn't according to your will. We want your will to be done. But encourage us, Lord, to know that you always do hear us. You may say no, but you hear us, and you have us on your heart. So we thank you for that. And now, Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Algeria. And some of them have been put to death, and some are homeless, Lord. And some have been beaten, and some have been hurt. And the little children are scattered abroad around, and they don't know maybe where their folks are. And it just seems so wrong, and it is so wicked. But we know that's Satan at work. And he's going to have his work for a time, but the day's going to come when the trumpet's going to sound and time will be no more, and Satan will be put in the lake of fire forever and ever. And with those of us who know you and know Jesus, we'll be with you forever. So help us just to not to be discouraged, but to give all we have for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hank's going to sing for us, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And God bless you, Hank.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. My sin upon his shoulder, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. I love that song. And you know, it's one of those, you notice in his singing, he says, I know, I know. And that's what Paul says, you know, we know that all things work together. He says, I know that my sins are gone. And he's trusting in Jesus. It's a know-so. It's not a hope-so. But as I know it, and the reason we know it is because God says it. And when God says it, you can put a period there. We used to have an old professor in our seminary, and his name was Robert L. Moyer. I learned more theology from him than any single person. And he always used to say, when God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. And that's our great faith. It's not that we hope or we suspect it would be nice. We know. We know. Well, we're going to talk about something we don't know, maybe, and that is prayers and when God says no. And now we all believe in prayer, and we all talk about prayer, and we all pray. And we can all think of times when God answered prayer, and he helped us, and it worked out just fine. But then we can also remember times, at least I can, when God says no. So what goes here? How come? How come he answers some and he doesn't answer the others? And so let's just think about this matter of prayer and see how we ought to handle this matter. First of all, we want to point out that God answers prayers in different ways. Sometimes it's a delayed prayer. Sometimes it isn't going to come this weekend or the next weekend. And to think about Abraham, God made him a promise. And it took 100 years before Isaac was born, promised him a son. But it was delayed. It was waiting. So when you pray, maybe it's going to be answered a little later. Maybe God's plan has it in a different light, a different way of handling it. Another thing that happens is that we have disciplinary prayer. And that is that God is, the Bible teaches us, that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Hebrews 12, verse 6. And so we say, well, now it says he chasteneth every son. Every child he receives, he chasteneth. He deals with us. And so why does he do that? Well, we're told why in Hebrews 12, verse 11. It says, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Could be translated a quiet growth in grace and character. In other words, God disciplines us to make us better. We see that played out in the life of St. Paul, where he had a thorn in the flesh. And people got all kinds of guesses what it was. We don't know. We know it was in the flesh, something in the flesh, something with his body. And so he goes to ask God to take that thorn away, take that out of his body and give him healing. And he prays, nothing happens. And God says, no. And so, yeah, then he waits and he prays, and still God doesn't answer him. And so he prays a third time, and God says, Paul, I'm not going to answer this with a yes. Yes, I'm not going to take this thorn out of your flesh. And Paul, don't ask me anymore. Don't ask me again. Because I'm just not going to do it. So now, why did God do that? Well, he did that because he wants to bring something good out of us. And he wants to make us more like himself. And then when those things happen and we get the no's, that God helps us. For one thing, he gives us two gifts. And the first gift is grace. And when we talk to him and we pray to him, he's going to say no. He gives us grace to live above it. He gives us grace to handle it. There's a man, J.B. Myhill, and writes it this way. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied sorrows, he multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's what God did for Paul. He gave him special grace. He'll do the same thing for you, and he'll do the same thing for me, because he can't say yes to everything. There's something that's out of his will, and we shouldn't do it. And so he will say no, and then he'll give us grace to live above it. And the second thing he does, when he says no, he gives Paul, for instance, he gave him added strength. God didn't take away the thorn, but he gave added strength to live above it. So God gave Paul a resounding no. But the apostle, was he angry? Was he upset? Did he say, well, God, I've been working for you all the time, and I've been stoned, and I've been left shipwrecked, and I've been beaten with a scourge several times, and I've done all that for you, and now I'm asking you this, and you're saying no. Did Paul make a case there? Oh, no, absolutely not. Instead of being angry and seeing this as an hindrance in his ministry, instead he took a different attitude and he counted the thorn as a plus. P-L-U-S, plus. He could use that infirmity to honor God, listen to him. Paul says, okay, God, I'm praying this, and you said no. Therefore, Paul says, I will rather boast in my weakness. I'm going to take that thorn in my flesh, and I'm going to hold it up like a flag. If you want me to have this thorn, then I want this thorn. That was Paul's way of handling it. And he can say, it isn't an enemy anymore. This enemy now is for my good. And so he says, listen in verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Job did the same thing, didn't he? When God took everything he had, his holdings, his property, his children, his reputation, his health, and instead of Job being angry with God, we read that in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I don't care how many times he says no. And so sometimes when God says no, but and we don't like it, well, Job was just the opposite. He says, if he says no, I'll rejoice in it. I'm thank you for the answer, because I know that God knows the best, and I want my will to become his will. And instead of becoming angry with God, which is always wrong, which is always a sin, it means when we become angry with something with God, when he says no, it means, first of all, that we don't trust God. We just don't trust that he's able to do it. Or we question his ways. God, you made a mistake here. I wanted this, and I got a reason for it. We question God's ways. So we don't trust God, or we question God's ways, and neither one leads anywhere. So forget about it. Just get away from it and leave it alone. So how do we handle these things? Well, we handle it. I'll tell you how we handle it. We handle it by submitting to the will of God. Submitting to the will of God. We do it by letting God be God. Let him rule. Let him reign. Let him make the calls. He's the quarterback, and he'll call the plays. And I'm one of the players, an honor to be of that. And if he thinks I should go out through the middle of the line instead of around the end, that's just fine with me. And if I think it should be some other way, then I'm questioning him, and I can never do that. And so this wonderful God, we see it so often, how that God will just take care of us. And that sometimes he takes us out of these things, and sometimes he won't take us out of these things. When we pray, we're praying here. And here's a person has cancer. And I've run into this all the time. And we pray that he'll be healed. And yes, we do. But we pray, if it is your will, because maybe this is the way this man is to go, this woman is to go. Maybe it is not to be healed. Maybe it's not to be changed. You have to go through the fire and the flood, see? You see that, for instance, look at Daniel in the lion's den. Oh, I used to look at that. I remember Mother had a book, Bible story book. And those lions there, they scared me to death. I don't know why I looked at them. And then I'd have nightmares. And those old lions were standing there looking at Daniel and couldn't touch him, couldn't do a thing about him, didn't touch him. But, when Christianity was young, when it was beginning, in the Colosseum in Rome, they put the Christians out in the Colosseum and they turned the lions loose and the lions came and killed them all. What goes here? Here he keeps the mouth shut. Here he opens, lets the mouth do it, see? And so when we come to this, just remember this. God, let him make the calls. There's a reason and there's a purpose and he'll always be right. You see that in with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They get into that fiery furnace and they're going to be burned to a cinder, and all of a sudden there they are, and there's a fourth person walking with them, and there's not even a singe of a smoke on them. Perfect, that fiery furnace. Well, that's great, but in July 6th, 1415, on the outskirts of Prague, there was a man named John Huss. And John Huss was put to the stake, and he was burned to death. And God didn't say no to the flame. So don't try to figure out God. Just remember this. God has a reason. I'll tell you, it's pictured so beautifully in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the Hall of Fame because of their faith, their great faith. And here are these people. They have a list of these people, and they have great, strong faith. And all of these got a yes to their prayers. And then it lists them. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Praise God, but read on. And God is a different story. We read on that the same people, the same time, the same nation, the same God. Let's finish the chapter. Some faced jeers and flogging while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in caves and deserts and mountains and in the holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And there they were. They had the same God and the same faith and the same time and the same chapter. What is happening here? And so you have the prayers. And God says yes to some, and some he says no. Some were delivered, and some were not. Why? Well, for one reason, we don't know the perfect will of God. We don't understand God. We don't know God. We're like a worm going down the path on the walk here, and here comes a man. And how can we possibly know the mind of that man? And here we are. We're on this level, and God is on a level that we have can't comprehend. We don't know the will of God. And so we know the will of God, for instance. He's not willing that any should perish. We know that. But we don't know if he's his will to clear cancer or take that all away. And so we don't understand perfectly the will of God. And so because we don't understand it, we accept it. We never doubt it. And we always pray, thy will be done. You see, look at the Lord Jesus, and he goes to Gethsemane. And you remember what he says? Yeah, Lord Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays that maybe he doesn't have to go to the cross. And he asks God. And then God, well, what will God say? And God tells him, no. No, he didn't. To his own son, he said, no. You have to go. And so put Jesus. Then what does he do? In Hebrews, he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and to go on to the glory of God. And so where we live, when we make those prayers and we ask it, we don't know just exactly what to do. Well, just to lean on the Lord. Put full faith in God. God wants more than anything else if we believe in Him and trust in Him. And maybe this is where He's getting us to believe more in Him when He says no. When He says yes all the time, everything is smooth. But when He says no, maybe He's working there with it, so we'll trust Him more. Maybe He's proving us there to show you, do you have that faith? Do you really love me? Are you really letting me, your God? And when God answers our prayer with a no, we trust Him just as much as when He says yes. It doesn't matter how He answers a prayer. Our faith remains the same. We're just well, look in Job 1:21. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the way we need to live. When God gives, we bless His name. When God takes, we bless His name. When God says yes, we bless His name. When God says no, we bless His name. And like Job, though he slay me, I trust Him. I never doubt for a moment. John said that he would die for Jesus, and he died for Jesus. John said he would die for Jesus, and that's exactly what happened. The evil hand of Herod took away his life. Thus it was with Job. He said yes to Job, and he says no to John. But He's a God, and there's a purpose and a reason. So what do we do when He says no? We continue to love and trust Him. We never doubt His call, never question God. The audacity for miserable me to question the God of Almighty that I don't even understand and can't match in any way, and for me to question God. Don't become angry, but trust Him and try to tell God. Don't try to tell Him how to run His business. Not at all. Instead, we leave everything in His hands. He knows who we know He loves us far more than any earthly father possibly could. We know He does all things well. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. We know He's on the throne, and one of these days He's going to descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, a shout to the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. We know that whether you answer yes or He answers no, He has proven to us that He loves us. And so pray on. Trust Him all the way. But you're never going to make it until you have Him in your heart. And you'll never have Him in your heart until you ask Him in. He's not going to knock down doors or anything else. In Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart. Right now, there's something. You just feel that there's something. I want Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. There's things I don't understand. I can't figure them out. But I just want to give them to Jesus. And then I can go to sleep tonight and just put them in His hands. And so, Jesus, you pray. You've got to have Jesus. And He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, you have to open the door. There's a picture. Holman Hunt has a picture of that. And when he got done, he showed the people the door. And they says, Hunt! You forgot something. You don't have a doorknob on the outside. And Hunt said, of course I don't. The knob is only on the inside. And if you don't open it, it'll never be opened. And you'll be in hell. That's exactly what'll happen. And so right now you pray, dear Jesus, I'm opening the door of my life. I ask you to come into my heart. And I ask you to take away my sins. I'm sorry for them, Lord. And I'll turn from those sins and I'll put them away and I'll walk with you the best I can. And Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. He is so beautiful. He is so wonderful. I can't understand. I can't imagine why anybody would turn their back on Jesus. And so don't you dare. And when you have the Lord, then you can say, no matter, I'm praying, there's things that I pray for. And if they don't, but I always pray, thy will be done. And if he says, yes, that's fine. If he says, no, that's fine. I don't care what he does because I know he's in control and he's way ahead of me in figuring things out. I can't run my own miserable little business myself in my life, run my own home hardly, let alone running the whole world and running eternity and the things to come and all of the ages to come. I can't match up that at all. I need Jesus. You pray that prayer. And then you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature. And I'll tell you something else you can do. You can get on our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and we have a way of salvation spelled out right there with all of the verses and everything else. And you can get some encouragement there and some words to get started in the Christian life. If you want some of the sermons or some of the things like that, and then you can just get our pictures and see what we look like. And when, you know, some of them, most of them look good, but you know, I never took a beauty contest. I never sang a solo, never took a beauty contest. But you can see us and see what we are. And so then you write to us, a Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you can also get us, you can send a gift on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you'll do that, well, then we can help to pay our bills. No matter where you live, we'll get it in American currency and we can take care of that. And maybe you could tell your friends, and maybe you could pray, because all together we're doing the wonderful work of the Lord. So now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all of these wonderful people who've opened the door for us. And now we've been able to worship with you. Thank you for the multitudes, Lord. We just believe there are multitudes that have opened their heart to you, received you into their life, and we're going to see them in heaven. We're going to be with them in heaven. And won't that be a wonderful time? And dear Jesus, help those who are on beds of sickness, those who are shut-ins, and some of them have a hard time, a hard way of it. Some of them are lonely. Some of them are weary. And Jesus, we think of the children, the beautiful children, and we pray that they'll be able to hear the message. They'll open their heart and be born again, that they'll have that wonderful Savior to lead them all through life. Pray for the young people, Lord. Oh, they have a hard time of it with all these temptations. Bless them and give them guidance and help us all. We'll love you and trust you in Jesus' name. So I want to thank all of you for opening your doors for us. And I tell you so many times that we're so happy that we can come. We're so thankful that you make it possible, and we just give you thanks and praise. And I think of the people that have come to know Jesus. It's a team effort. It's because all of us are working together. We have to have our technicians. We have to have our musicians. We have to have people that will do the office work. There's so many all working together and all working to the glory of God. So you just pray for us and we'll pray for you. And as we go along, we're going to be looking in some new things into the Word of God, some things that's going to bless your heart and give you strength. And you're going to become stronger in the Lord and walk with the Lord. And we hear some people that have drifted away, and maybe today you've come back. Maybe today you've made that prayer to receive Jesus, and you've opened that door, and you've come through that Jesus, come through that door. And I remember a little boy one time, and I was talking to him, and I says, his name was Keith, and he's lived his life, and he's gone to eternity. And I says, Keith, just ask Jesus to come into your heart. And he says, but what if I ask him to come into my heart and he won't come in? I'm too wicked. And I said, Keith, Jesus says, I'm holding the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And so if you ask him, and you're just in your own words, and I had one man, and I think it's maybe the first time he ever prayed, and he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. And so he sent that prayer and asking Jesus into his heart. And then when he got done, he says, and thank you and goodbye. So just use your own words, goodbye, whatever it is. So just remember this, God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I can tell you from my heart, I love you, and God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.